Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pack your playlists, start your sleep timers, and finish up your melatonin candied chamomile hearts, because it's time. Happy, oh, and it's Canada Week with a twist of maple sugar candy, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And I got another nice message in from the mystery bard, a lullaby, a lovely lullaby. It actually has some hints, so if you listen close tonight or tomorrow, you might catch it. Mystery Bard?
This is my song today, and there will be a song tomorrow. When love has come to play, music is my arrow. Cupid is so tired, so I'm giving him a break. Now Cupid sleeps, and I stay awake to sing la 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 la. Every day I will sing la 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 la. Good night, Cupid.
Yeah, thank you, Mystery Bard. And if everyone can remember, I'm looking for 10% of the audience to participate in our Patreon over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron. So right now we're averaging, we're around 1% of listeners. We need about 9% of people to join up eventually. We're getting about 20 people a day. So if another 20 or 30, you could think about joining tomorrow at $1. If you get value out of the show and you just donate $1 a month, if we can get 10% of the people, that'll be a legit enough money to pay Chris, our editor, and to start to create some long-term sustainability around Sleep With Me. All right, let's keep going. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you up at night, whether it's thinking about stuff, worrying about stuff, planning stuff, something going on with you physically, or something you're going through, noise, sound asleep, snoring partner, whatever it is. I'm going to try to take your mind off of that, distract you. And so I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night here. And I'm going to just use lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, wings of pointlessness. I guess wings of pointlessness and pointless meanders. Maybe we'll meander on the wings of pointlessness. But the idea behind the podcast is that you can't think about two things at once. And, you know, and I'm not sure, I'm not scientifically sure if that's true. I'm pretty sure I can definitely worry about more than one thing at once. But I guess it's to take your attention off that and say, hey, I'm going to do this silly little podcast here and give you a little bit of an alternative to focus on. But, you know, it'll be like a faux focus, F-A-U-X focus, a faux focus. Well, that is a nice faux focus. You could have to think of a show. That should be the name of a show, but I guess it would be a fake show. Welcome to Faux Focus. This is Scoots here, and I'm changing up the intro to be a focus on a faux focus. No, I don't think that's going to go anywhere, but I find that amusing, and it's just nice, faux focus. If you get, you know, if the podcast doesn't work for you, just say that if you faux focus. Or instead of like tomorrow, when someone cuts you off, just say faux focus. And they'll say, you know, under your breath, and maybe they'll bring you, I don't know what it'll do for you. I think it relaxes me, faux focus. Maybe not. Maybe it detaches me a little bit, but I don't even know. Now I've rambled so much, I don't even know how I got into this faux focus. But you can concentrate on me, but don't hold the concentration. Like, I offer an alternative droning to whatever your mind, your body, or your feelings are telling you. It'll be kind of amusing. I'll be doing my best to make it decent and I mean, believe it or not, you know, I'm working at this, but I guess when I put my mind to work, this is the result. And what can I say? It puts people to sleep. Let's keep doing it. So you just lie back. I'm going to try to, I'm actually a lot more, I mean, I don't like to brag on this podcast, but about once a year I brag, and that once a year time is when, now they only do this in Australia currently, but the brain bots, that's the part of your brain that chatters on, they vote for the entertainer, the brain bot entertainer of the year. And, you know, I don't know if you know who the brain bot entertainer of the year 2016 and 2015 is, but I think you do, because it's me. I mean, what can I say? Brain bot entertainer of the year. You know, they, but it's, so I try to entertain those brain parts of you. Or what I call brain bots. Maybe they're your pain bots, or maybe they're your snore bots, or your noisy neighbor bots, or whatever it is. Now, if you're new here, I guess I'll try to orient you before I lose you, which if you're not going to like the podcast, I probably already lost you. Ideally, if you're on the fence and skeptical, I like to give you applause, and not faux applause, real applause, because why wouldn't you be skeptical about something like this? And with every passing sentence, you may become more and more skeptical of what I'm doing here. And it's simple, but at some point, even your skepticism will get bored. You'll say, well, geez, he hasn't talked about his vitamin program yet, or his tapes that he sells separately, or whatever. So maybe, and then ideally you'll fall asleep, even your skeptical side will fall asleep. But this podcast is odd. It's for people, it's an alternative to guided meditation or ASMR or noises, because, you know, that doesn't work for it, but it doesn't work for me. And I guess, like, you know, if you're a little bit like me, a little bit gray inside, unfortunately, it's not. I don't have. We've talked about this. I don't have a lot of gray matter, but inside me, I've got a little bit of gray in there, or a traditionalist might say a little blue. You know, sometimes the more positive stuff about climbing the slopes of a mountain, you know, and the joy of eternal discovery, you know, that triggers a sleepless night. You're thinking about that. You know, well, why haven't I made that? You know, it triggers you so. This podcast is for people that say, well, you know, I don't know about that. I need something a little stranger, less goal-oriented. Because this podcast, the goal is to distract you so that you stop listening, I guess. Because the alternative is like audiobooks or podcasts. And those can work. You get a lot of lovely voices, voice actors or podcasters with beautiful voices. You know, not as creaky as mine, but, you know, soothing. But then you say, well, geez, I mean, I look greatly up to Roman Mars, so I use Mr. Mars as an example. Plus, I love to say Mr. Mars, especially when I'm repeatedly blocking him in checkout lines at grocery stores. They say, Mr. Mars, did you get the manuscript I sent by? And then a few times it says, I don't know who you're talking about, you know, I'm Mr. Jones. So I got to study the headshot a little bit more of the one I have. But, you know, Roman Mars has this beautiful, buttery voice. But who wants to, you know, you don't want to hurt Roman Mars. He's giving you, you know, 20 minutes of an intriguing story about design. You know, opening your eyes up to something undiscovered about the world, or a new appreciation. I even heard him use the word didactic, and I said, wow, that makes me like him even more. But so you don't want to, you know, I think a lot of people have expressed, you don't want to let Roman Mars down, right? So I'm your alternative. You fall asleep, you don't let me down, you make me happy. And just to set up, why would someone do this? Now, I was someone that had a terrible time sleeping as a child. And for some reason, that's one of those, I guess they call it a formative memory. Like, I can access those memories lying there at night, and I'll never forget them. And I don't blame anybody for that, just, but I can immediately put myself back there at the moment where you just wonder if you're ever going to fall asleep. And then, you know, just so I like to use the word rigmarole, because that's really what it feels like. And I'll never forget that. And I tend to be an overthinker nowadays, too. An over-worrier, you know, all that stuff. So if you're in that situation, this podcast can help you out. But believe me, it would be more than an honor for me. So that's one level. Just second level, this is a podcast is a bit of work, but it's also fun, kind of, you know, when I can get over my self-criticism and stuff. And I get to tell silly stories and kind of see how they go and explore them and help people fall asleep. So what an unbelievable opportunity I have here. And it's an opportunity for you to, you know, I'll be here telling a story you can just do, not off into dreamland. So that's how a podcast works. You just kick back, you listen. Ideally, all the other parts that are cramming for your attention, they'll be like, yeah, this guy, you know, if we could listen for a little while, it's not too bad. Yeah. So, and I say, hey, come on, come a little closer, brain bots. Come a little closer. You know, all the parts of you, come on in. Roll in, you know, I'm going to tell you, let your human sit back there and you all keep a close eye on me because I tend to be a total screw up. So I want do you brain bots know how to raise your hands quietly? Oh, wow. All your hands are up. And now can you put your hands back in your lap? Okay. I got to tell you, see, that's how I won brain bot. Watch this. Hey, brain bots, who do you think should be a brain bot entertainer of the year 2017? Oh, look at that. All those hands went up. That's so nice. Great job. Which of you think that other countries like United States should have BrainBot Entertainment? Oh, wow. Wow. Excuse me. Why isn't your hand up? Oh, because you wanted to wait to put both hands up. Great job. So see, you're in good hands or you're in moderately, you're in good oven mitts. I guess I wouldn't say I use hands when I do this, but I guess you're in reasonably comfortable oven mitts. Here, and that's if you're sleeping, you know, you probably don't want to be what could be 100% new design. You'll be cradled in my oven mitts. They're, you know, with pillowy softness. So thanks for coming by. This is the podcast, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. All right. Housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. Older episodes are there. On our website, you can comment there. You can email me feedback at Sleep With Me Podcast. You can get me on Twitter at Dear Scooter or on Facebook. I want to thank Chris Posibosis, who edits our shows and does some of the music. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork, on our honor. We have a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. I want to thank Alexandra, Laura, Rachel L to the G, Lie to Lie, Julie C, Jennifer B. I want to thank Latitude on our subreddit. And that's it. Let's keep going. All right, this is a red pen run through for episode 35. And I'm here to tell you, you know, as I always do in the deep dark night, todo está bien. Everything is fine. And of course, you say, well, that's a way of looking at it, Scoots. And I'd say, well, how about this? What if I tell you this? Todo está bien llegado. Everything's fine when I arrive. Now, if you poll scientists or people I've, you know, workplaces I've been to, places I visit, they're more on the me alegra. I'm glad, you know, when he leaves, not when he arrives. When he goes, you know, we go yego and our, you know, we go, you know, we're worried. And I say, hey, I'm here to bring you pura calidad, the pure quality lulls. And nonsense, you know, bobodas. Yes, I get a pura calidad bobodas. The purest quality nonsense. And I'll tell you what, one other thing I can tell you is tengo de sobra. I have plenty of it. You know, I can reach an el nivel, a level of bobodas. You know, unprecedented. And you might say, pero supongo que. But I guess he's going to finish up with this. No, dicho, I'm saying I'm just getting started here. Because when I get to the bobodas related to sleep, related to lulls, related to carrying people off into dreamland, because if I say yego, todo está bien, when I arrive, I want everything to feel fine in the deep, dark night, in this safe place. You know, I take that muy, muy serio, a very serious muy, muy serio, because I want you to get on my wings of pointlessness And I want to take these lulls, un más alto, even higher. You know, I don't really, I can carry you off on my wings of pointlessness, but that kind of sounds too grandiose. But at the same time, es tremenda, tremenda. It is tremendous. I don't know. I guess tremendous. It's tremendous what I'm trying to do because, you know, the weight of the brain bots, I guess that is tremendous. They get in the way of your sueño, your sleep, where you just want to be in bed, siendo, being, you know, being. And then you have all these things in your brain that give you all these razones, reasons. And the reasons, you know, this is kind of like a podcast open and bilingual. Or, you know, Nilton, it's biurnal, diurnal. You know, what's a creature that doesn't leave the house? You know, this creature's active biurnally, diurnally, nocturnally. Those are nocturnal. How come it's biurnal, diurnal, nocturnal? Doesn't have that urinal sound to it. But what's a creature that never leaves the house? Because that's, you know, that's what that used to be me a lot of the time. But there's the razones in your head they start listing, and they'll say, oh, you know, why can't you es un genio? Why aren't you a genius? And we're going to give you a couple of razones que fue lo que hizo. That was what he did, that, you know, why your life isn't perfect, why it's cagada. Oh, mucha gente, so many people are higher than you. Hey, que hacer, what are we to do, you know? We kind of feel despierte, and that's why I say, you know, we're not, you know, llego, I'm here, I arrive, todo está bien, let me bring the bodas for sueño, and let me take my own más alto. And I'll give you mis cuenta, my accounts of, you know, if I had a new bayo caro, a new car, apuesta, you bet I'd be talking about it, and you apuesta that I'd be pensando about it, thinking about it. And I know the kids, they like to say, seis tonta, you are silly. And I say, yes, I am, I'm so silly. Why don't you sit down, please, and cross your knees, put your hands in your lap. Because pero me alegra, but I'm glad when you sit down. And it was a long time ago, I think before I was born, that I said, besito ciao, goodbye to kisses. I don't remember saying besito ciao, but it, somehow it happened. I think even before I was vestida, before I was dressed, you know, and dressed down, vestida. And I said, well, couldn't I ban a ser a ocho? Can it, there'll be eight besitos for me in my lifetime? And they said, no, nada besitos. Say ciao to besitos. And I say, so there's not going to be un lote besitos for me? And they said, well, dejenos cocinar. Let's get cooking. And I said, okay, I'll start cooking. I'm good at that. That's very, you know, that's very romantic, isn't it? And I say, they said, what are you cooking? I said, pollas genio pedazo. They said, and even the Spanish speaker said, pollas genio pedazo. And I said, yeah, genius peace balls. That's what I call these. They're cookies. Don't worry. Don't freak out. They're, oh, you pollas genio pedazo. They're genius peace balls. Oh, I'm sorry, you must be confused when the piece I said, P-I-E-C-E, not P-A-A. That must have been what confused you. Genius piece balls. And they'd say, well, they look more like brains. And I said, yeah, genius piece, pieces of genius, but in a ball shapes. A grand chemical, like a grand chemist, a large chemical, you know, making these cookies. And I'm going to pasado. I'm going to make them last. Hey, Joe, that's a fact. These cookies are going to be delicious, these genius piece balls. And if they don't come out right, culpa suya, it's the oven's fault because, my oven's a little pesky. It doesn't, my oven says no logicos. My oven doesn't believe in logic. I have more of a, my oven's more of a Kirk than a, or actually it's more of a Shatner than a Kirk, and it's definitely no Spock. And if you want, you know, if you have an oven, you kind of want your oven to be Spock, you know, you want it to be logicos, logical. My oven's more of an open air, a pit of heat, and full of aero de calculo, full of miscalculations. Deep within it is two different thermometers I've bought to try to, in my planeando, my planning to see, well, what temperature can I cook this at? And then I broke one. I said, asunto, that doesn't matter. I have two, dos. So I'll be able to adecuada, you know, what the right temperature is. You know, conosco, I'll know. Now, the downside is you used to have two, so I could say, si sabe tanto, if you know both, then, you know, they're both at 350, the oven's probably 350. But there's a few spots in my oven that are olvido, oblivion, because I put it in there, it's 350, but then it cooks really fast or really slow. And then I say, and this is another question I get. You see a lot of things, cook it in the center of the oven. I always say, qual centro, which center of the oven? Because it doesn't seem like there's an actual center of the oven. Because it's like, okay, center rack, but there's two racks. You know, there's not three racks. You know what I'm saying, or no? And I know you said, dejanos cocinar, let us get cooking. Capaz, if we're able. You know, these genius peace balls, these are raras, rare cookies. You know, I'm the only one that makes them. And we take these candies, and this might be a strange term, but they're going to monta. They're going to mount the cookies, these candies. And those are the payo, the hair of the genius peace balls. It's like a candied hair, actually. I picked it up. I said, yeah, does it taste any better than regular hair? Bayo, is that it? And they said, is this a little bit, anything like hayato? And I didn't get an answer. But that monta, that's mounting the genius peace balls. And believe it or not, the genius peace balls, they have two things. One, to eat them and enjoy them. And two, to make you piensa, you think. You say, huh, I'm eating a brain like candy, and I wanted to stir a deseo, a desire within you to aumenta, to increase, you know, what you have maybe in your sotano, your basement, where you might feel some balanada, some worthlessness, some moral, spiritual, or, you know, even esteem-based quiebra, bankruptcy. So balanada, quiebra, worthless and bankrupt. If there's a part of you down there that feels that way, it's time to motiva. It's time to use the genius peace balls to motivate that part and say, you know, la ultima vez, this is the last time. Esta cerrado, that things are going to be close to you. I know you feel down, and I brought you some genius peace balls. Mira la hora, hombre. Look at the hour, man. Look at the time, man. Time's, you know, that was kind of a metaphor and a fact. Time's wasting. It's time to get on the mensaje, get the message. You know, I'm here. I'm here to tell you todo está bien. And, you know, I believe me, when I make the genius peace balls, I make sure limpios, it's clean. Aparece, everything appears to be made from ingredients. Even the payo, I was kidding about that, you know. Everything is seguro, safe to eat. And you might say, Scooter made these brain candies? No estoy tan seguro. You know, I'm not sure. Are you sure if I eat these, I won't get the tiradas, the spins? And I say, well, these are the kind of candies that distradidas. They distract you. Just like my, you know, By pillowing you softly with my words, it uses absurdo, the absurd. And I would not say this is any of this is al 100% 100% works. Because, yeah, the bobotas have not volados, have not flown away. And believe me, when everybody leaves carreta con todo, everybody leaves with a bag of everything, if you know what I mean. And they say tiene hambre, they are hungry. And you might even, some of you might say, ahorita, no Dios, right now, you might say that. But here, boy, I die comida, I'm going to give you food. You know, Genius Peace Balls, they're great. And I'm going to be amable, friendly. And one day, hopefully you'll say, Se ganó el cielo. He won the sky. And you say, what? He won the sky for, what did he want? Besitos. He went all the way to the sky. He tried to win the sky. Se ganó el cielo for besitos. Or in chasing his besitos that went chow. And I'll say to all you, toma mi amor, take my love. And a ver te robo un poquito. I see a little theft. Thieve it away. Thieve my genius piece balls. Thieve my besitos. Mantiene. Let it maintain you. And don't worry, no avances, no advances, desiro will be put on you. I will cover my lips with a bello, a veil of pierda, stone. The old stone veil that has covered so many of, you say, well, that's a paradoxical thing, a stone veil. And I say, no es un mineral, it's not a mineral. This veil is pierda's stone. And believe it or not, pues es muy bonito. This veil is pretty nice. You would think that the stone is uncomfortable because it's so heavy. But it allows me, you know, that way I don't eat my own genius peace balls. And we see, you know what we say when we're, you know, corremos estos. We run this bobotas. And, you know, there are no more barras in my, you know, my life. Bars, you know, places or, you know, bars to jump over, go under. There'll be no desecho, no calling. But, you know, pidan, I've learned to pidan ayuda, to ask for help. You know, peores, it could be worse. You know, we could be in the deep cagado, hombre, but we're not. And you'd say, is this a resuscitar, a resurrection? I say, well, metaphorically, maybe. Because it looks like it. When you put the genius peace balls in the oven, they rise again. Well, they rise, I guess, for the first time. So is resurrect, that's true. So just erecting. I guess we're not resurrecting the cookies. But they're erecting, you know, they grow. You know. And siguiente, are you following me? Because in this situation, ganamos, we all win. I repeat, sacar confiar, you can take trust in me. Because, you know, if I had a tattoo or a life saying, it would be demoro todo para nada. And this is the truth about this podcast. If it had a Spanish, you know, catchphrase, demoro todo para nada. Takes me all for nothing. Sleep With Me podcast. Demoro todo para nada. Takes me all for nothing. And that's a pretty apt description of the show. And it has some of my favorite things. It's a realistas. It's realistic. It takes me all for nothing. It plays with idioma, the language. It plays with the language. It has a mensaje in there, a message. It's breve, brief. Now, the show's not usually brief, but that's brief. It feels a little curada. It's a little cured, like a good ham. Demoro todo para nada. Takes me all for nothing. It has a little bit la ventara lifted. It's full of tontas preguntas, you know. That's what this whole show's full of, tontas preguntas, silly questions and bobadas nonsense. But it'll leave no marcas, no marks. You know, because, as I say, we're in the night, in the deep, dark night, we're all egal. We're all equal. So, Ben, come on. Let's sit down and, share some boyas and opadas of some genius peace balls. Good night. All right, so we're talking metastasis, I think 34, but I'm actually not positive. At the top of the page, it says B-I-S-T-U-N or B-I-S-T-U-R. And I don't know if that's a note about this show. Random unrelated letters I wrote, even though it has a capital B. Bister. Then it says Barrio Meses Atras, various months before. There's the music from the TV show Insomniac again, which has come up before. Dave Attell's wonderful late night show from about, I think it was on Comedy Central. And then we see Guido, and he is so happy, setting up the lab. Gus rolls in. He says, hey, it's like Christmas. And he says, 2 weeks, Guido. And then they talk about the Blue Azul. He's like, is that our competition? And then Gus is all triple question mark, because I wasn't sure. And then Guido, he's apologetic. He says, Mas alto, small differences are very tall. Or, it's a big deal. Mean a lot. And he says, one more thing, Gustavo. We should find the cook. And then I put a question mark. Then we see, you get to see Guido's place again. Then we see Victor. He says, hey, Jose Miguel, you got to get back to work. So he says, let's drive back to work. Then he's back at work, and it's a work meeting. And Mike and Walter are there. Victor's there. Jose's there. They're like, is this some sort of training? Was this one of the, a state-required training, and Victor's like, I don't like these kind of trainings, I don't like being micromanaged. And Mike's like, why don't you, relax, man, we're getting paid, actually. Next thing is morning, we see Cielo is at home, or somewhat, Cielo looks sleepy, but I don't know how early in the morning it is. And Maria's there. She's going, listen, I got a ton of big bills here. Lots of bills. And Cielo's like, yo, chill, tranquilo, man. It's cool. I got it. And then Maria sees a new car. And she's like, that's a sweet ride. Is that Waltz? And then she's like, ciao, baby. And then Cielo goes upstairs. She's like, oh, Waltz's car's here. Waltz's not here. She looks around. She's like, what in the heck? And then she's worried about something. She sees the key on the ground. So then she went for a drive in a bathrobe. And then I put ditches a car down the street. And then she rolls home, but she picked up some groceries to, cover her tracks. And Junior's there. He's kicking it, drinking some orange juice. Again, I don't know. I guess he's not kicking it. And he's like, dude, Mom, did you go to the store in your robe? He goes, what are you doing? And then we're at work, and Walt is like, guys, at 8 o'clock, I got to start cooking, no matter what, even if this seminar doesn't get underway. And I don't know if they're expecting Goose to pull a David Brent, if they're like, what is he, or what? And then Victor, he's like, I'm not having this, He goes, this is a chain of command here. You can't just start working on the seminar day. And then Mario, who is Mike in this show, but I always call him Mike. He's like, come on, man. And then Victor's like, I don't know Victor, I couldn't understand if he's anti-seminar or pro-seminar, but he's like, I'm going to do some work. And he goes, I think he thinks he's better than... He's like, I can do this work, Walt. You're overpaid. And then Walt's criticizing the work. I think he calls him an imbecile. And he's like, oh, this guy's going to totally mess it up. And then they're watching him, and it's like, oh, so far, so good. And then they're like, oh, and then he remembers the metal stuff, like tin can scraps or whatever. And then Gus rolls, and everything goes quiet. And then I said, disgrace do music, disarase. Disarase or disgrace do music. Disgrace to music. This is like Spanish language and interpreting and my handwriting. And then Walt takes Gus off. Oh no, Walt talks while Gus takes off his jacket, his sweater. And Walt's explaining, you know, about work stuff and seminars. And it's like, Walt's like, I can do the seminar because I don't want to sit through any, you know, song and dances. And then Walt talks about Victor, and he says trash, I think, or talks about trash, and Victor talks back. Walt gets all touchy. Walt gets all, it looks like T-O-U-C-H-G, but I think it's touchy, maybe. Tudre. And then Gus gets dressed. And Walt is talking about chemistry, chemica, all sorts of BS about that. Then whatever Walt says, it kind of bugs Gus out. And then I put cook you. Oh, no, Gus is out. Walt bugs. Oh, no, Walt begs to cook. Gus rolls out. Cook you. I think it was you cook, but then we see Saul's office is closed. He's got a guy there, and the guy trying to get in is like, yo. Then we see Saul in his office. This was at his overall office. This is in his private office. He's checking for bugs. Walt's on the phone. Oh, no. And then they said Cielo's. No, Cielo's on the phone. And she's on the phone with Saul, who's on a payphone with his bodyguard. And I was like, is Saul a germaphobe? Because he's using a rag with the phone with Cielo. Hangs up. Cielo shows up at Walt's apartment. No one's here. She calls a locksmith. She acts up, like with the baby and her asthma. And she's like, my meds, I need to get inside. And Cielo searches the apartment. The only thing she could find is like Walt's craft drawer where he's got that teddy bear, the eye of the teddy bear where he's trying to, he's like, oh, I'm going to put Teddy's eye on something. You know, some future craft I'm going to use Teddy's eye for. Then we see Maria. She drives home, and she's sitting in her driveway, breathing deeply, trying to get some solitude. Or I guess she has solitude, but centering. And she goes in the house. She's got fresh flowers, purple sweater. She's very cheery. And then all Henry does is complain about something, and he's on his computer in bed. And she tries to take interest, but Henry kind of freezes her out, which I used to, that's one of my, that used my middle name, Freeze Out. Or maybe it's my, is it bad? And then she tries like two or three more times to get involved with what he's in a pleasant way. But Henry's not having it. And we go back to the lab. Walt, Jose, and Mario, they start to clean in preparation of cooking. And then Walt and Jose are getting fries at a diner-type place, and they're wearing gray shirts. Walt has a calculator. Walt has a calculator shirt on. The tags are still on the clothes, which is funny. That reminds me a lot of the scene in, what's that movie called? Oh my goodness. Something I should have remembered instantly. Oh, Pulp Fiction, when they have the new clothes on and they look all square. And then, I think that must have been Walt. Well tells Jose something is very important. And then Walt talks about Gus. Then Jose drops Walt off at his house, and Cielo rolls out of the house. She talks about, she's like, yo, I hit the car. And then she's like, what's up with your clothes? They still have tags. on them. And then Walt's like, and she's like, what's up with you? Are you okay? He's like, oh, yeah, totally okay. 100%. And then he's like, she's like, here's your keys to your car. She goes, here, you keep, fool. That's what I put. I don't think that's in English or Spanish. Here's your keep, fool. Cool, thanks, late. I think that's what Walt said. Like, cool, thanks, I'm out. And then she goes, oh, you got one more tag on your back, bud. And then that Walt starts walking to his car, and that's the episode ends. All right, so we're talking season 4, episode 1 of Breaking Bad. Owen's with Gale in the lab, and Gus is like, how's it going? He goes, very, very well. Flurry, he uses flurry of deliveries. And Gale's clearly takes pride in the equipment and how things are coming together. And he's so happy that Gus, you know, spared no expense. Gale's like, this is a top quality pharmaceutical level lab. And this is a great, great Gale line. Gus is like, you know, I want you to have what you need. And Gale says, well, I doff my proverbial cap to you, sir. And it's just only Gale would be a cap, I mean, proverbial cap. And I notice Gale's got an expensive-looking shirt on, a nice shirt, but wide collar. For whatever time the show came out, probably, you know, a couple of years ahead of its time, or, you know, stylish. But then he has maroon cargo shorts and sandals, I think with socks on. And I did take exception to the sandals with a leg, because he was unboxing stuff in a lab. It just, I said, come on, Gale. So, you know, you need steel-toed shoes in this situation. Kind of like when Walt and Jesse drink out of beakers. It's like, come on. I mean, I've been banned from most labs, or, you know, most places that even say, like, have a lab or laboratory. And I know, don't drink out of a beaker and wear closed-toed shoes. Now, I know those from making mistakes or getting, you know, shamed by adults, but still. But these are the lessons, you know, these are the pro-am tips, you know, don't drink out of beakers or any sign, you know, just period. It's easy. Just don't do it. Anything that looks like it's from a lab, even if it's at a themed bar or restaurant, don't drink out of it. And don't be afraid, you know, when they say, well, this is Dexter's Laboratory restaurant here at Universal Studios, send it back. I don't drink out of laboratory equipment. Well, this is made of plastic. Well, yeah, but next time it won't be. Okay, so please take the plastic beakers away from my table before you make this scientist mad. But then we see the time crunch they're under because they're like, Gale, you got to get this thing up and running. And then Gale's like, what was that blue stuff? It was really good. Because is that our competition? And Gale shines again. He says, the purity, and I'm speaking in chemical terms, it's off the charts. And I don't know why it's blue. He goes, if that's our competition, we got some problems. He says, well, how pure can pure be? And Gale says, pretty darn pure. He goes, Mr. Fring, I can get to you 96%, and I'm proud of your figure. Hard-earned figure, 96. But this product is 99, maybe a touch beyond that. And he goes, you know, I'd need something fancy just to even determine that last 3%. He goes, it's tremendous. It's a tremendous gulf. And this is, you know, it's strange that this is Gale's, you know, undoing. But he says he won't let it drop. Gus is like, 96% is fine. But Gale's a scientist and a proud man. He goes, don't let it bother you. And Gale's like, yeah, but I just, my scientific curiosity and my curiosity of art. He goes, this is where the art and science meet. And he's like, who is it? He goes, well, a chemist like yourself. But he goes, it's not going to happen. He's not professional enough. And Gale's like, if that, he's not professional. And he goes, well, no, personal professional. And Gale's like, this is the best I've ever seen, man. And you're doing, putting all this money into this. And you want the best. You know, maybe you should think about it. I forgot that I didn't do it justice because when he says, Gus says, how pure could it be? I have other notes here. It says, Gal almost says it to himself, like, quietly. He goes, well, we can be pretty darn, you know, pretty darn pure. And I also noted Gus's displeasure at Gail's insistence. And then when Gail says, I know you want the best, there's this nice, to end the thing, scene, there's this Gus close-up profile of Gus just staring. A nice big profile. Then the show opens. Then we get a good look at Gail's tea kettle. Jeff Solomon book, I think, no, Jeff Sahara book was what Gail was reading. It's a mass market paperback. I think that's military fiction, but don't quote me on that. It might be historical fiction. I think it's very popular. I think there's like usually a tank on the front of the books, but don't quote me. And we see Victor and Jesse, and Victor's like, you're late for work. Jesse, let's go. And then Mike and Walt are waiting for a meeting to start at work. Walt has his hands in his lap. He's very scrunched up, while Mike is totally at ease, and his body language is way more relaxed. And then we have Victor and Mike having a little side-to-side, and Jesse and Walt. And then Mike's like, okay, I better call Mr. Fring in and see what time he's getting to this seminar. And he says, I better get this over with. And you see in Walt's face, Walt's, you know, pensive, I would say, is a good way of saying it. But as he turns in his chair, he's got one of those rotating chairs, and as he turns, his face changes, Walt's face. Then we see Skylar and Maurice woken her up out of bed. She's got the bills. And it's kind of funny because she says, don't worry. Marie's like, well, I got to run some errands. And she goes, thanks so much. You know, the bills just keep piling up, but thank you for helping this. And then she's like, hey, she goes, is that car out front mean what I think it means? Like you and Walt? She goes, I can figure it out. I'm not pressing, but she goes, that's great. It's really great. And she's like, all right, I'm out. You know, say howdy to Mr. I'm not here. And then, you know, Skylar has this look like she doesn't know what she's talking about. And then she looks around the house for Walt. Like she sees his car, looks around the house. Then she gets his hide-a key that he uses, you know, that's hidden on the, I guess I should have noted in case I ever needed to borrow Walt's car or his, truck car, his Aztec. I think that's what it was called. But now I forget. I think it's in one of the wheel wells, but they probably changed it, you know, since this show's so popular and Walt's fictional, Scoots. But then she moves the car, and actually, while she's moving the car, it's even the sound design in this episode's really good. There's news radio, there's a traffic report, there's a problem on Coyote. Then there's a camera shot as she parks in the one of those road residential street. Why can't I think of it? A residential street that has a roundabout, you know what I mean, though. It's like a metaphorical word I use all the time. But there's a camera shot from a basketball hoop as she parks the car. And Skylar rolls back from the car, you know, walks back. And there's this morning sun, really, really nice little touch there. Because it felt like it was real morning sun. I could feel the warmth on her face. And she's got this look on her face. I can't tell if it's determination or worry. And she gets back to the house happy to see Junior, who's up for breakfast or ready for her to make breakfast. Then the guys are sitting around the lab. And Walt's like, all right, you know, it's like 9:10 o'clock. So it's almost 9 o'clock. So we got to start cooking. And then Victor's like, no way. And Walt's like, we got to get to work, man. And then they're like, well, I don't know, Victor, you know. He's like, come on, Mike, we got to cook. And then it's like, well, you know, this is why we're here. And actually, Mike is sucking his gums or whatever his habitual thing he does with his mouth is. And he looks very pensive, kind of sucking at his gums. And then it's like, that's right, we're not doing any cooking. Not sure if I remember if Mike or Victor said that. Then we see Saul's door. It's locked. It's closed. His bodyguard's there. And I couldn't tell. He sits down for a while with the receptionist. I couldn't tell if he was tired or staring. Like, he might have been a guy that can sleep with his eyes open. Then there's a call in for Saul. They page him, like, over the loudspeaker of the phone. And it's Skylar Light for you. And Saul's looking for bugs. You know, he's worried. And Skylar, they get on the phone. She's like, where's Walt? He goes, oh, he's, you know, working. She goes, well, I can't get a hold of him. Do you know where he is? And Walt's like, oh, yeah, he's at work. Don't worry. And Skylar's like, Mr. Goodman, there's something going on. Like, why would he leave his car at my house? He goes, people carpool. It's good for the environment. And Skylar's like, carpools to a meth lab. And then Saul's like, I'm losing you. And she goes, do you know anything? He goes, he's at work. And then as soon as, and then you see that Saul might have some germaphobe because he's on a payphone outside the motor lodge. The it looks like 7IX. I don't think that was the name of the motor lodge, though. Maybe a Tix Motor Lodge. That wouldn't be a good name. Dix Motor Lodge, D-I-X. But also Saul had a nice wintergreen shirt on. Still has his ribbon on from to show solidarity. And he had told Skylar, I guarantee you 100%. Skylar's like, 100%. And he goes, oh, yeah. And then as soon as he hangs up, he goes, you have a passport, to his bodyguard. And we see the baby in the car. It's a close-up of the baby. And then Adam, the locksmith, there. He's an older guy. And he's all about following state law. He's like, I can't, you know, I don't know if this is your domicile, so I can't break in. And then Skylar fakes asthma. Has him hold the baby. That was a nice touch. The baby's crying. And so he lets Skylar in. In case you're worried, Adam says he's going to mail the bill out. So that's fine. And then Skylar finds the teddy bear eye for the project. Also knows, oh, then we see Marie in her car. They live at 4901 some street. Marie's in the car. She pauses to breathe a few times. And then the next shot we see are meds and minerals. And then we see Mineral Enterprise or MineralEmporium.com. And we see Hank, he's kind of sweaty and oily, grizzly and grouchy. As soon as Marie comes in, he's got his arms crossed. And he's in gray sweatpants. And she's like, what are you ordering, a new rock? He goes, I'm bidding on a new mineral, Marie. And she says, she comes and tries to look at it. She's like, oh, that's pretty. And he just moves the computer right away. Like, his sweetest and most realistic behavior is just so sweet. He just moves, he's just like a kid or an adult in this case, and I've acted like this probably. He just says, no, you can't. He goes, he just moves it out of her way so she can't see. After that, we see the painting behind their bed, which is like a strange beach vase, a still life. But it seemed like it had some surreal elements to it, a painting or print could be. Then we're back at the lab. Walt's telling everybody they should be wearing masks because Victor's working. Mike actually drinks some of Gail's coffee. And then Walt's talking trash to Jesse about Victor. Saying, you know, Victor's going to forget the aluminum. Guaranteed he forgets. Now, the whole time, Jesse's kind of detached and just sitting there. Walt's running his mouth. He doesn't forget the aluminum. Then Mike rolls up close to those guys with coffee. And then Gail kind of floats into the lab with this iron glare and looks down, and everyone looks up quietly. Victor looks up with the dumbest look. I mean, up until then, I thought this Victor had it together, but then he just gives this kind of dumb, goofy look up to Gus. And then we get some more wonderful sound design because Gus walks across the top level, which is like a corrugated metal or something, like you'd be in a lab, like a catwalk, and you can just hear his footsteps, and then down the stairs, the tone changes with every surface as he hits the lab floor. We can hear him stepping. And then there's a bunch of reaction shots of people's faces as Gus walks by. And then Walt starts the bullshit, you know, bullshit machine with Gus. And Walt, Gus decides, hey, I'm gonna put on some lab equipment for fun here. And he has this like smirk grin on his face at first. And Walt, I notice Walt doesn't even know Victor's name while he's talking trash about him. Gus takes off his shoes, or Gus' shoe, that's what I put it. I'm assuming that's what it meant. Then Walt, he goes, when he doesn't know his name, he goes, this person, that's really demeaning. Because this person doesn't know what he's been doing. And then Walt tries a pop quiz, just like he's in school. He just goes, oh, okay, well, tell me about catalytic hydrogenation. Is that proautic or aprotic? Because I forget. And he talks about reduction, stereospecific, a bunch of other stuff, you know, methylamine and propene. And carbon's number one and two on the propane chain. And so that's pretty, propane chain, that's a nice combination of words there, propane chain. I get the carbon and the one and the two on the propane chain. Then we use methylamine, methamphetamine, chiral center. Can you tell me where the chiral center is? And he says, come on, help me out, professor. So we get the jerky Walt with his chiral centers. Gus slides right by Walt with this smooth motion and gives him this. Walt gives him a languid look. I don't know if that fits, but. And Jesse then has this great lean back reaction as Gus gets into close to a space, not even in his space, like this, you know, leaning back, even though Gus isn't even doing anything. And Aaron Paul really had some fine acting this episode because he really doesn't have a lot of dialogue, but he's always there. You know, he didn't need dialogue. I mean, you probably could have watched him the whole episode, you know, whenever there was a shot with him in it. Then Gus frowns, a full-lipped frown, raises one eyebrow while Walt's talking. And then Gus is like, I'm leaving. He walks out again, only footsteps. And he says, get back to work. And then we just go cut to like after work, and Walt and Jesse are at a diner. Jesse's drinking orange soda, I think. It actually wasn't a diner. It was a Denny's. And Walk plus him. I don't know what that means. They both have Kenny Rogers brown t-shirts on. And then we get this great piece of dialogue between them. Because like, Walt's like, what's our next move? And Jesse's like, well, what do you mean? He goes, we're fine. He goes, we're in the position we're in. You know, this is the present moment, Walt. You have to live in the present moment. And Walt's like, I don't know. The sky's falling. Jesse's like, the sky isn't falling, Walt. You're the top guy. Everything's going to be fine. And he goes, Jesse's like, I bet you this took years to design everything. He goes, don't worry about it. And I think Walt says, Jesse, are you sure you're okay? And Jesse's like, well, at least we all are on the same page. We all understand each other now. And Walt's like, what? And Jesse's like, we all get it. He goes, you know, Gus is going to make this. He goes, Gus wants us to work here, but not enjoy work. He's going to take all the joy out of meth making. And it's not going to be a Wonka-esque experience like we thought it was. Also, Jesse got a refill on his orange soda. Then Walt takes a cab home. He gets out. He's got red Chuck Taylors, white pants. There's no car. Skylar rolls out. She's like, Kenny Rogers, eh? And Walt's like, yeah. She goes, how you doing? And Walt's like, right as rain. And then she's like, well, your car's three blocks down. You know, I didn't want Junior to think you're sleeping over here because you're not. And then there's this whistling cowboy music, and Walt walks down the street, no belt, so his kind of pants are giving him trouble. And I noted, I said, hey, what's the name of this song? According to the person whose name I can't say, because it'll trigger her on other people's phones, it was Truth by Alexander. And that's the end of the episode. iTunes reviews, if you want to give us a review, it's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. And I want to thank Dasipus from Canada, who says, so boring, sleep with me works really well, helps me fall asleep every night. Thank you, Dasipus. John the Janitor from the USA, exactly what it says it is. Your old buddy Scoots just bores you to sleep with stories just interesting, get your mind off whatever and nonsensical enough to send you into calmer state, if not sleep. Thanks, John. Shep, 9378. That is a brain bot. I don't know if it's one of Shep from the Three Stooges brain bots, but Shep says they'll sleep with me any night. Honestly, they've tried sleep meditation, sleeping pills, prescription pills, but their mind won't shut down long enough. And they stumbled upon this podcast about 6 months ago. And instant change. And they're very thankful. Thanks, Shep. Scooter's Granny from the UK. Hey, Granny. Says, sleep with me. This really works. It's amusing, but truth to say, they've never heard more than a few minutes. Thanks, Granny. The Granny that listened to my podcast, I never had. Alexinator. I like that. Been listening since 2015 from New Zealand. When they got a little extra anxiety in their life and it was hard to get to sleep. When they did, it took hours. They searched for something to help. They found the podcast and it works. Distracted from worries just enough to fall asleep. And if they don't fall asleep, they enjoy listening to the stories. Just try it seriously. You have nothing to lose and so much to gain. Thanks, Alex. Alexinator. Lithophora. Says this really helps. Desperate last summer search led them to sleep with me, and if your future eyes are hooked, and now they feel relief when they hear the music. Thank you. Gigabeth says that Scooter's a sweet guy, and they've been listening for a while, and thanks for offering an atmosphere of trust, humor, and serenity. Thanks, Gigabeth. Laura BSR. Says best podcast ever for inducing sleep, hands down, period. They usually fall asleep before the main part of the story. I've been listening over a year. And if they wake up, which they usually do, they put the earbuds in and turn the podcast right back on and boom, right back to slumber. Also good for naps or a calming distraction in an overly stimulating environment. Thanks, Laura. Lauren Vacant from the UK. Lauren Vacant. Says it works every single time. Fantastic. Instantly relaxed. Even when I'm butchering your review. Thank you. You know, the most famous MC, Basket MC, says boring. So boring. Puts the wife to sleep in 10 minutes. Thank you. What about Jalatsky, J-Talaski, loves the podcast, voice is soothing, genuinely good guy, who's probably hilarious in real life, yeah, maybe, be laughing at me, does the trick to get your mind off, thanks, J-Talaski, Ando, 222 from Australia, loves it, and they've made it through a full episode, they love the deep, lazy voice, thank you. Sydney 213, maybe more annoying at first, but then worth it. Thanks, Sydney. First saw a podcast was the voice was so annoying and the content so nonsensical until they fell asleep hard. And now they barely get to the story, science, voodoo, whatever it is, it works. Thanks, Sydney. John Smith listens every night, works like a charm. Thanks, John. Nick the nurse says it's wonderful. Listen, last night fell asleep fast. Senseless jabber. Love the podcast. And if they wake up, they put it back on and they drift off in their dreams. This one's emoticon. So it says, OMG, this is so great, from Canada. For some reason, this app that I used to check, it haven't slept like that in a long while. So thank you, OMG. Boss and Kim racing no more. They don't know how charming Scooter was until they re-listened during the day. Thank you. Nora Nouse loves the vibe. It's Override the Mind. Used to use radio or history podcasts, but this works. Thank you. It's over on Twitter. Summer. Thank you, Summer. Thank you and good night. Lori. Thank you and good night. Liz. Cinna. Thank you and good night, Patrick. Thank you and good night, Teresa. Thank you and good night, Peter D. Thank you and good night. Lie to Lie, thank you and good night. Daisy, thank you and good night. Bear, Bar, thank you and good night. Melanie, thank you and good night. Sophia, thank you and good night. Bug, not funny, thank you and good night. Oh, also Melanie's daughter, World of Snorecraft, I liked that, thank you and good night. Lara, thank you and good night. Rachel, thank you and good night. Sarah, thank you and good night. Becky, thank you and good night. Tommy J, thank you and good night. Olivia B, thank you and good night. And yeah, because there's some quality Q's foods. Vicky T, thank you and good night. Dana, thank you and good night. Lori, thank you and good night. Ray, thank you and good night. Sheila, thank you and good night. Brian, thank you and good night. Torrance T, thank you and good night. Brenda F, thank you and good night. Judith K, thank you and good night. Ricardo V, thank you and good night. Laura, thank you and good night. Anya, thank you and good night. Allie, thank you and good night.